Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I'm your host, Tanya Parker, here to give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers, feeding our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we do it. And before we move further, I always have to pause and say thank you to the wonderful Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with her Hungry Woman Blues.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that Gay is not a stranger to our guests. I know she was featured in your last jazz CD, blues CD.
Yeah, that's right, blues CD, yeah. She's amazing.
Awesome.
And I thought, oh, my God, there's Gay.
That was
it's a perfect opening. Perfect.
Awesome. So before we get into the meat of the show, I'm just going to share a little bit about me and what I do. I help facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, and writing services. So right now, my website is in transition, but you can definitely check out my new Facebook fan page, Tanya D. Parker, to learn about my services, my young adult novel, meditation CD, sacred healing session, my blog, my monthly self-care Saturday series, et cetera, et cetera.
What don't you do? My goodness.
You know, that's a good question. That is a good question. And you can also just follow this show and me on Blog Talk Radio as well. And so we have the best listeners. I have to tell you that. And a special thank you to those who tuned in last week when Master Astrologer Barry McCullough, a.k.a. Baba Ofundi, was on, and he provided some amazing solar chart readings for our callers and me.
Wow.
And if you missed it,
I wish I could do that for your callers.
Check that out.
I'm telling you.
Oh, you know, you're going to provide something else. It's okay. But if they missed that show or any show that we've had in the past almost 6 years, you can check it out on demand. So tonight, you've already heard the warm, wonderful tones of our guest, and she is someone whom I met several years ago, and I was struck by her amazing energy. And at the time, I had no idea of the breadth of her talents. And I've gotten a vicarious thrill, I have to tell you this, following her singing exploits around the world. And so she is full of love and courage and passion and compassion. And I know, trust me, I know without a shadow of a doubt, that to have her in your corner means things will get done. All right?
Oh,
in
I believe
fact,
that.
She was
yeah.
named by Essence Magazine as part of 25 Women Shaping the World. So I've been looking forward to chatting with her more about this call she has to heal through her unique talent. So let's give a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to Leah Gilmore. Yay, Leah, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That may have been the kindest introduction. I should definitely take your podcast and play it every time before I start something, just because it is so kind. And it's remarkable how we really met, you know, and I felt mm-hmm. the same way. I thought, oh, my God, what incredible energy is coming from this beautiful woman. But we really didn't know what each other did because we were working on, we were doing our activism. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, the universe is amazing. It just finds a way to put spirits together, you know, and let you find your tribe, you know, where you're supposed
yes.
to be. And it truly does mm-hmm. that when you're not even knowing what's happening.
I agree.
So I'm just very thankful.
I agree.
Very thankful. And I have so much to learn from you, as you know. I always say this. I have so much to learn from you. I
well,
really
you know,
do.
To me, learning is a reciprocal process. So I know that we have much to learn from each other.
There
and as I said, I really have been following for you for years. And every time you go away, I always hold you in the highest light. I know that
thank
your trip
you.
Will be
thank
successful.
You.
I know people will be touched. They'll be moved. They'll be healed. They'll be enlightened. They'll be entertained. And I'm just so thrilled that the inspiration came to ask you to share some of that with my listeners. So I am just profoundly grateful.
I would love to, and I hope it's coherent. Okay. Because I get so excited about it. You know, you just start talking, and you know, you don't
mm-hmm.
know if it's linear or comprehensible,
right.
but okay.
I understand. So I'll try to keep you in semi.
You keep me on this line, girl. Please, please.
Well, for those listeners who may not know you, please share who you are mm-hmm. and what do
you
serve
know,
at your healing
question?
Table.
Yes, that,
it is.
That is always
yes,
a difficult question to share who you are. Well, I am Leah Gilmore, and professionally, I do a few things. I'm a professional performer. I sing. And I do that mostly for social justice work. I like to do it, but I sing also for joy and for my own personal healing and for others as well. I'm married. I have two sons, and I travel around the world. And I created an initiative called Umoja Musica. Umoja means unity in Swahili, and we know it's also the first principle of Kwanzaa. And
yeah.
it's about using the unity of traditional musics with African-American traditional music being at the center of it all, mixing it up with other traditional musics and showing our common ground. And it's really been mm. successful. I'm so pleased about it. It was just a dream mm. I had. And you know how you look up at – I was awake, actually. You were standing up at the ceiling and said, I should do this. And then some other nutty person like me believed it, I should do this, and we got together. And we've done this together, so it's been really great.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I love origin stories. And, you know, people don't quite know that moment when they decide or they get the inspiration or
mm-hmm.
the knock on the
because
head.
Because it grows. It grows.
The same.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It grows. It was a result of just being around so many people from different cultures, just my journey as a singer, you know, being invited to so many different places. And I was listening to something called the Bolron, which is an Irish drum. And I closed my eyes, and it's played with a hand stick. I closed my eyes, and it sounded like I was in West Africa. Do you know?
Mm.
It was the same type of feeling, the same downbeat being played, which is rare in European music, you know, because they're really much on the one and three. Somebody will know what I'm talking about. But just clapping on one and three makes you want to die if you grow up like us. But
okay.
I was listening. That's where I got the idea. And I was talking to a friend from Belfast who is Irish and who had lived through the Troubles and who had experienced so many of the same type of discriminatory practices from the police and from, you know, the people akin to like what we would call the KKK. They were the orange people who wear orange and march through the streets. And this still happens mm-hmm. to this day. And we talked about our, like, he's a brilliant banjo player, and we talked about our very common experiences in our freedom songs. And so we said, we need to put this together to show the world that we are not isolated and that music is really a soundtrack to getting ourselves ready and inspired to create change, but also to feel that we can have the capability to do so. So you will find the best music in the most oppressed people.
Yes. You know, I just had a visual of, what was the movie with Mel Gibson?
Braveheart.
And seeing him play the drum, or someone play the drum as he's about to go off the battle.
Africans did the same thing. And you know the Scottish bagpipe was an instrument of war. That's why it's so loud. You know, can you imagine 50 bagpipes running up to you after? I mean, my God, that would drive me crazy. I would retreat.
Right, right.
Okay.
Who needs guns and knives and swords?
Yeah, really. Who needs that when you've got all that sound coming? But, you know, such amazing music has been created in the Gaelic culture. And that was our first collaboration, was called Umoja Gaelica. And we recorded that live in Scotland two and a half years ago. So it's been very well received. And we just know that this is really, music is something that brings us together. Yeah. It is a unifier, you know, because it's something we all have in common.
Yes, yes. And so you've done this musical work, and you've done it for pleasure as well. You've traveled all over the world.
Yes, creepy,
just to
freaky
some amazing
sometimes.
Places.
Right.
Now, what are some highlights for you?
Well, I would think the most amazing place I traveled, and the most surprising and amazing place I traveled three times was Siberia, because you don't think of yourself as a little black girl from Baltimore going, one day I'm going to go to Siberia and sing spirituals. You know, it's not something that you quite think of. But it was such an incredible experience, and they knew of Paul Robeson because, you know, he eventually moved to Russia. And you learn that what you learn about people is basically from the television. What they know about us is so superficial. What I knew about Siberians, when I went to Siberia, it was like being in Paris in this city. Everybody was so impeccably done. I had to go run to a mall and figure out and go get some clothes so I could fit in.
Really?
Yes, and you know what was really incredible, Tanya? The music, our music is very empowering. And the women would come to me, and they would be crying after the shows. And this happened at every show, and they would just thank me for this opportunity. And that just happened last month when I was an opportunity to hear this music and experience it and see a woman doing it. And that just happened to me last month when I was in, I don't know what month it is now. It must have been last month. Yes, last month when I was in Scotland, and I was talking to the immigrant community, which was mostly African cultures. And a lot of them were African and Islamic cultures. And the women were thanking me so much for empowering them that they can do something, they can be something. This is what the music does. It empowers you that you can do something. People take music and think, oh, it's just music, it's for our recreation. Let's put on some Little Kim and dance. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. It's a vehicle of change. You know, it's even with you as an expert on chakras, which I'm not, because that's what you're going to teach me about one day. But I know enough to know that the vibrational aspect of music is so empowering, you know. And you could see it as they were singing. You know, some weren't even in English, and we were singing This Old Light of Mine. They understood every feeling, because, you know, we don't laugh in black. We don't cry in white. Our feelings are something that are given to us as humans. And this is what the music talks to. It's soul to soul. I call it soul music. Not like, you know, tell me what I say, that kind of thing, but soul music, music of the soul, the way our souls speak to each other.
Blah, 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 blah. I can feel that energy and just imagine seeing you in concert, because I haven't had the pleasure of seeing you in concert yet.
Oh, my goodness, it has to happen. I know. Usually
it's,
because
you know,
I'm so out of town.
Right.
Girl, it's, right. It'll work out. When it's time, it's time. That's how the universe works it. When it's time, it's time.
Yeah.
I have not seen you, and you do the amazing you do, but I have experienced you. Just experiencing you is powerful enough. So, you know, I feel very lucky with that.
Bless you. Bless you. See, we're going to become presidents of each other's fan club. That's what's going to happen.
There you go. Well, you definitely have one here. Definitely.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's funny because you've talked to me over the years and you've talked about, I want to learn about chakras. And you were talking about vibration. And it's interesting because I have been called to work with people, particularly women, around throat chakra energy. And that throat chakra energy is all about vibration.
Right,
that is,
I've read that.
It's all about expression, speaking our truth, helping with the heart chakra to create that bridge from the lower chakras to the upper chakras. And it's so powerful. And music and song play such a pivotal role in that. It's not just speaking, but it is singing. And so how interesting that you have become so adept at harnessing that throat chakra energy and using it
right.
to create
Thank you.
Amazing healing. So kudos
yeah, it,
to you,
you
for
know,
that.
It just feels like, and sometimes you don't even have the vocabulary for it. I had to look it up and see what that was, because it was very metaphysical to me. It was something that was beyond just, you know, the norm, beyond something tangible. And I started reading about it, and I was reading about the throat chakra and the vibrational aspect of it and the healing aspect of it, and I was thinking, this is what is happening. This is what is going on. Because when people come to you afterwards, you know, after, especially after the community things we've been doing, and we've been doing them around the world, folks say, I just feel better. You know, they even have used the word vibration. The vibrations that go through my body feel better. You know, and we are singing, breathing. A singer's breathing is everything.
Yeah.
You know, and how
yes.
we breathe. And that there's so much more, so much in common with what you do. And sometimes
yes.
we have to breathe
yes.
just to get through some crazy.
Exactly.
I mean, just when life goes
exactly.
crazy, you just have to start breathing. So, yeah,
you know,
we take a few
truth.
More breaths than the rest of the world. Oh, yeah, it is. I think my friend who is a practitioner of Reiki, am I saying it correctly?
Mm-hmm. You are, yeah.
Thank you. We were talking. She's in Scotland. We were talking. And we were talking. And I did the, God, I can't even remember the program now, but it's very yoga-like with breathing for singers. It's been so long. I'm so old, Tanya. Okay. But
no, you're not, because we're the same age, Leah. So.
Then we're so fabulous, Tanya. That's right. We don't claim that, do we? Isn't it amazing, though, how different we are than people from 25 years ago?
Yes.
You know,
now
who are our age, you know? They were. They decided,
like,
okay,
we're old
now. We're going to wear all floral patterns. We're going to cut off all our hair, and we're going to bend over. I'm like, there's no way. I'm going to be fly until I die, all right? Okay. That's right.
I love
right.
it.
Right.
Yes.
But it's really about that breathing and those vibrations. And this is something that has also been studied medically, you know. It's not just not just metaphysically, but also medically.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a metaphysical phenomenon. There's this Dr. Christine Northrup, who wrote
a
book called Health Wisdom for Women, you know. Yeah, I've heard a lot about her. I don't know her, but I'm so glad to know of her. I just ordered her a book from Amazon. And Arlene Goddard wrote a book that talks about the intersection of art, spirituality, and song. And it's very, very powerful stuff. So we're not the first people talking about it. I just have never given it a name because culturally, and I don't know if you grew up in this, but I grew up in the Southern culture. Culturally, singing is like breathing. Even if you can't literally, like, supposedly are Beyonce, you still sing. Mm-hmm. You sing to get yourself mm-hmm. through. Our singing, the singing that we've created, the spirituals, the field hollers, the blues, jazz, all this singing was practical. It was practical singing. It was healing singing. But what it has become is the foundation of pop singing all over the world. If there was no blues, there would be no Rolling Stones, David Bowie. There would be none of these people. Christina Aguilera, Adele. I'm still waiting to see Jill Scott on the cover of the Rolling Stone, you know, where she deserves to be. You know?
Yes.
And I'm moving. I don't like to say appropriation all the time, but sometimes my music has been appropriated. But a lot of the time, my music is celebrated as well. So, you know, and you definitely know the difference.
Yes. So, you know, as you were saying, medical science has studied what people have known culturally down through the decades, down through the generations, about the healing power of music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you just imagine, I can't think of one right now, but think of any particular movie that we've seen and someone goes into some sort of shock or they go through grief and you see them rocking and humming, just that humming.
Oh, yeah.
Sound.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We call it moaning.
It doesn't have to have words to it. Moaning.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't need words. No, it doesn't need words. When I was a little girl, you know, my parents were from North Carolina. And the same tradition is in Scotland called lining out, you know. And the African-American music is really an amalgam of traditions. We created our own music. It is our music, African-American music, because it's not purely African. It's definitely not European, you know what I mean? But it's African-American. But sometimes you don't even have the words, life is so hard. But you have the tones, and you have the moaning, you know, that you do. And I remember sitting in the benches and listening to those folks just, you know. And then in Beloved, there's a wonderful scene where the sisters get together, the older sisters get together to try the rid of the ghost. And it was just so phenomenal. It just gives you chills because it just, there's a couple movies, Glory, Beloved, I can't think of all of them as I'm thinking right. The Color Purple. What would The Color Purple be without our music? You know, the interpretation of our music, you know, and how it gets us through and how it tells the story. Oftentimes, because, you know, we tell our life through our stories. And music, a song is a story.
Yes.
It's a song. And usually, you know, when I do my activist type work, I can get across so much more by with a song than I can talking, because real change doesn't happen at the cerebral level. Real change happens at the heart level.
Yes,
that's how people change.
Yes,
and music just talks to that. It speaks to that.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to my days some decades ago, I must say, when I was a practicing therapist, a mental health therapist.
Oh, yeah.
And what I learned from that is that there is healing that comes forth just from telling your story.
Oh, yeah.
And if we try to circumvent that process, try to cut somebody short, and that story is not told, then that can circumvent the healing. That story must be told.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
And it's not told in a very this is my story, this is what I'm going to say. There are ebbs and flows and fortes and pianos and louds, you know, and legatos and staccatos, mm-hmm. because that's how our life is, and ups and downs. When we listen to somebody's story, we listen to how they tell it as well. And that's just like a song.
Yes.
You know, the silences are as important as the actual hearing of the music. Because it is the music.
Yes.
It's part of the music. It's even notated. In music, silences are notations, like a note.
Yes.
You know, because that's how important it is. And sometimes it's important, just like you said, it's to listen. You know, and so that's what I always think of. And I make myself listen, because sometimes I'm like, I'm sick of listening to you. I'm going to talk now. Okay. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You know, listening is a gift. And it's something you learned.
Yes, I agree. You know, before we go forward, I want to make sure that our callers know they are welcome to call in with questions or comments. And that number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. And please make sure you press 1 to indicate that you want to speak with the host so that I will unmute your phone and you can ask a question of our wonderful guest, Leah Gilmore. Wow. So, you know, actually, you were talking about intertwining your music with your civic activism, and that's what you do, and you've done it all over the world. And one that hits close to home is your work with Be More Community Sings. And if you can share with our listeners what that is and how it came about.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, we're often, all of us are people of somebody should do something. After the uprising in Baltimore, you know, where we really were uprising for change and equity and inclusion and equality, and, you know, and got interpreted so interestingly by the media, as always happens. But I thought, man, we need to do something creative to gather the communities around, something non-threatening. So Issei Barnwell, who's absolutely an amazing hero of mine from Sweet Honey in Iraq, hosts these community things in D.C. I hope she's well enough now to still be doing them. And I thought, we need to have that here in Baltimore. And Tanya, really, it started on a website and Facebook. And from that, it has grown immensely into the most multicultural, multigenerational, multi thing. But we still are using mostly African-American indigenous movement, music, to move ourselves forward and to propel ourselves forward. And it's been such a galvanizing and an inspiring experience. I didn't know it was going to take off like it did. I thought maybe we get 10 people, I'd be happy. You know, 5 people. You know, and from the tradition I come to, it says where there are 2 or more gathered, you know, is a good thing. But, you know, we've had quite a few people. And we don't come from any specific church tradition, but we know that in African American community, a lot of our songs are very Christianity based, and some of them were covered, you know, like during in Haiti with Voodoo. You know, they thought they were talking about the saints, you know, but they were really talking about the Orishas that they have already talked about. And like our spirituals, they thought we were talking about going to heaven all the time because it was such hell here on earth. But we were talking about freedom, getting to Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting out of this place, going to Canada. So they were brilliant. They wrote these cold songs, you know, wade in the water, God's going to trouble the water. Walk through the water when you escape so the bloodhounds can't pick up your scent when they try to come get you. But you couldn't just raise your hand and say, excuse me, master, I'm going to escape right now. You know?
Right.
So we came up with these amazing ways of doing things, and music was pivotal to that.
And so what might folks expect if they go out to Be More Community Sings?
Well, first of all, they're going to expect to have some fun, because I'm a crazy one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because you have to have fun. I mean, fun should be allowed, you know, happiness and joy. We just don't sing out our pain, but we sing in joy, and we sing out joy to the rest of the world as well.
There is no
experience necessary at all. A lot of third grade, I think, or middle school choir teachers did a number on people and singing, told them they couldn't sing, and they've taken that to mean for the rest of their life. Everybody has a voice. All of us don't have to sound a certain way, but you can sing. And singing frees a part of you. There's a freedom in singing.
Yes.
And that's why our music is so attractive to so much of the world, because the way we sing with a freedom that not many people are allowed to have or are given. So when you come to Be More Community Sing, we often just sit in like a healing circle. We start a song, we teach it really quickly, then we just go forth and sing. If you got a harmony, good. If you don't, so what? If you're on key, all right, good for you. Thank you. Thank you for my ears. But we don't care. You know, it's about the process. It's about the process. And it's about the gathering. You know, the gathering of humans, gathering together of such what we call different folks. But, you know, humanity, again, we share so much. It's really the outside world that has really separated us and segregated us into all these little compartmental. They like to compartmentalize us. But singing is a way of making things equitable, because we're all there in the same room doing the same thing at the same time with the same joy. So I really love the equitability that it creates as well.
I am determined to make it out. I look at it when I happen to catch it and I say, oh, I wish I could go. Or,
Baltimore, everything's scheduled at the same time. Even when you try not to schedule something at the same time, it's like some kind of weird law. You know, I was a nonprofit director, and I still am. I also work in nonprofit world, and I'm a policy analyst by training. You know, we always do something else. And
right.
Everything we try to schedule, and then you find out, oh, that other five things are happening in that time. So every time people show up, I'm like, oh, my God, look at all these people that are here. I think there's like 10 things going on at one time.
Well, one day, because I love to sing, and I have to tell you that I've always been a part of some choir, you know, in the church where I grew up.
I can hear you in your voice, yeah.
Oh, okay. And,
oh, definitely,
you know, I have to laugh because I grew up in a small country town in Virginia, and the only radio station in town, near Kilmarnock, yes, Warsaw.
Right, because I'm always going to Kilmarnock in West Scotland. I remember us talking about it.
Right, yes. So our only radio station was a country station. So I grew up singing a lot of country songs, and then there was a pop radio station across the river, and we would tune in to them too. So, you know, I grew up on that. And then, of course, whatever we could catch on the TV, Jackson 5 and whatnot. I grew up singing and in choir, the gospel choir in college, and, you know, at various church choirs, et cetera, et cetera. And what I realized is as my aging has progressed, I have not been in formal groups to sing. So what has happened is the singing must occur. And it comes out, I used to be a professor of public speaking. And what I'd find is I would start teaching something and I would turn it into a song. Or I would.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've done that before in my classes.
The music has to flow. And if there's no formalized means for it to come out, it is going to come out in some other kind of way. So when I'm cooking, I'm often singing. Or when someone will make a comment, it will trigger something and I will turn it into a song. And, you know, I'm one of those people. If I were to go on American Idol, someone would say, now, honey, you know your family members should have told you that you can't sing.
I often even wonder about that. I said, did somebody tell you, baby? Did somebody? You can sing, but it, this show's not for you, okay?
Exactly.
Because
so
I want everybody to think
that
they can sing.
Right.
But
so
it is. Things turn into songs.
I will sing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a song for everything. I mean, there's, and plus, you know, like the work songs helped, you know, many of the prisoners and also the slaves just get the work done because it was so rhythmic. And when you do things in rhythm, you do them more quickly because you're doing it together.
Yeah.
It's just like singing in community. We're doing it together. There's a feel, this togetherness feel, this sense of community and sense of camaraderie that is built by the singing really is a practically good thing. You know, it's not just making us feel good, it's making us productive human beings as well.
And I know it's a mighty vibration that happens when you all gather together, whether you're in Baltimore or anywhere else around the world singing in community. I know that's bringing more light in, and that is just what we need.
Amen. That's it. Bring in the light, you know. And I always sing that song, the very, very simple spiritual, very, very simple spiritual. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And they know it all over the world. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Because with those vibrations, we are letting our light shine. And the light always beats darkness. There's not a, you cannot not beat darkness with light.
That is
the
true.
The physics
and
of
you know,
it is impossible.
Exactly. And being in a metaphysical church for the past 10 years, it's interesting. That song is a popular one. And actually, we sang it today at my chapel, but we changed the lyrics. And that's we re-language all the time.
Oh, I, we call it repurposing.
So,
right, right.
Okay, we repurpose. So it's this great light of mine or this God light of mine. Because I will
learn
that there is nothing little about your light or mine. Amen?
Hello. I'm going to take that you know that. Okay. This great light of mine.
Yes, yes.
I love that. Because there is nothing little. I think that wonderful quote by Marianne Williamson, which I can't remember verbatim, but just talking about, you know, the importance of never hiding your light because your light can be an inspiration to others. Is so important.
Yes.
And often we can find our light through our voices. And I guess you know through your throat, through the throat chakra work, finding your light is there. You know?
Yeah.
You find that, you find your light. And it's a very vibrational.
And that's one of my favorite quotes. So thank you for referencing it.
It is so true. It resonates with me as well. Who are we
to see our
amazingness, our great light.
Our great light. And when and so many people don't see it because they have been beat down by the world, you know? And that's why it's so great to get into a community so you can be surrounded by this light. So that you can one day just pop up and feel yours and know that you have been, you have something to share because every single human being has something to share.
I will not
believe that. I will not believe that. And I think we've just not been in the opportunity to do it. But with great people like you doing the work that you do, it shows people how to, you know. I want to learn more from you how to, you know. So
well,
so
you know
what?
You are doing pretty darn good. You know, let me tell you that. Sometimes it comes to us intuitively, you know? The classroom
right,
is everywhere,
it does.
Right?
It does. It really does. And sometimes we can just feel the ancestral magic around us, really. You know, because our ancestors created this, not thinking this would ever be in music, that was going to be revered like, you know, Chopin or some other dead white guy, you know, who is very famous. But over in Europe, this music, And sometimes I think it's too close to us to understand the greatness of it. You know how we take things for granted that are just close to us as anything. But when they were in the field singing and making up these songs, and, you know, nobody knew who wrote, "I stepped in the water and the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul." I can't raise my hand and say so-and-so wrote that song, wrote that, because it's a folk tradition. But they didn't know when they were in those cotton fields, they were changing the world.
Yes.
Their suffering and the way they dealt with their suffering was changing the world. And we still sing the same songs today.
I just love it.
I love it. Such a strong group of people. I tell you, I get so excited about it. The more I read about it, it's just amazing. And the more I do it, the more I'm an active practitioner. You know, because music is not just reading about music. Music is doing it.
Right.
And it really is so scary to people, like public speaking. You used to teach public speaking. And I did a lot of it. And it's not, it is intimidating because of what's thought around it. You know, it's found to be inaccessible to folks, but it's not. You know, but if you start in community, you start to get enough gumption, or whatever word, you know, chutzpah, to use a Jewish word, to maybe I can do this myself. Because I couldn't sing, Lisa, Tanya. I couldn't sing at all. Tanya, I play the piano. And I got a scholarship to Peabody Conservatory when I was 12 years old, of Peabody Conservatory prep for piano playing. And then Donna Summer came out. And I was like, I'm going to sing like Donna Summer. So I'd get my hair brushed and put my blanket on my head and think I had my Donna Summer hair and get in the mirror. And I'd be, "Let's dance, the Let's Dance." I'd sing my tail off. Now, I've spent my whole life growing up listening to this music, you know, listening to Mahalia Jackson coming up from the basement where my dad was listening, and Sam Cooke and all these folks. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I wish he stopped playing that slave music. And my life came full circle to not appreciating the immensity of what we have, to appreciating it so much I must tell the world, you know. But it came through Donna Summer, okay?
Wow, I love it. I love it. Well, you
know it's so strange.
No, I mean, I love that story. That's amazing to know that you once thought you couldn't sing, that you were focused on the piano.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
Wow.
But
you
everybody
can. Found your voice.
I found my voice, and that's what we do. Yes, yes, I can. And everybody can find their voice. Everyone can find their voice. We have people come who thought they'd never sing by themselves a solo in their life. And we give them something to do, and they'll go, okay, I'll do it, because, you know, everyone's so supportive. It's such a safe space. And that's what you have to create. Mm-hmm. You know about that as well, creating safe spaces where it's non-judgmental. And that's a hard thing to do, because everybody has to be on one accord. And when you create that safe space, all of a sudden the shyest person is up there going, you know, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." You're like, all right. Okay, you go shiny, girl. And my brother,
and they are
whatever.
Shining.
And they are shining.
You know, that reminds me of a story. A few years back, I had another musician on the show. And it's the only other time I've talked about healing through music. And she's a sound therapist, a music therapist. And she also... was a musician. I used her music for my meditation CD, Nazia Howard. And and so I went to Nazia's home studio for her session, because she says, "You have to experience one of my sessions, one of my healing sessions." And so I didn't quite know what to expect. And, you know, there was some incense and some body work and some breath work and meditation and some Reiki healing. And at that point, I was nice and opened up. And then it was time to create music.
I wasn't quite expecting that. So, you know, it's fine when you give me a drum or some sort of percussion instrument.
I've done
some of that, or the cymbals, or, you know, a shakare, something. But then when you say it's time for me to sing along with her, you know, because she can sing, it was the most amazing thing. And
isn't it empowering?
It was so empowering. And I could feel my throat chakra, you know, opening even more.
And
I was able to go and do those meditations without any problem. I mean, it just flowed. And after that is when I also started my young adult novel. I mean, so it was really amazing.
Oh, that's such a great story.
It's
tell me about your
story,
young adult
just
novel.
Thing.
Okay.
Oh my.
Yeah, tell me. Well, I'm interviewing
the
you now.
Diary
okay.
of a witch's daughter. Okay. It's it's called Diary of a Witch's Daughter. And it's one of those books, you know how you'll see a Disney movie and, you know, you take some kid to a Disney movie, but, you know, as an adult, you really get a guilty pleasure yourself. You're enjoying it.
Oh, God,
it's
yes.
kind of on that vein.
I had two little
you
boys.
Know,
I enjoyed
though,
it more than they did.
Right, exactly. Sometimes I used to find somebody's kid just so I could go
right.
to a movie. So it really is a story of a young woman coming of age and her relationship with her mom, whom many people consider a witch. And so the concept of witch is explored in the book because it's set in reality. It is metaphysical. It does talk about holistic health. Food is like its own character in the book because her mom is a holistic chef, among other healing modalities.
Great. So you're teaching in this book as well.
Yes, yes, most definitely. Most definitely. So that is that. But that creation started flowing after my session with Nazia and singing and just creating. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
There's usually something that kicks it off, you know, that kicks off that creative in us, you know, and there was an event that happened at my church when I was a young girl, I guess about 12. They asked me to do something because I was really, really painfully shy. And it's the arts that opened that up. I know that sounds like a joke, but it's the truth. It was the arts that opened that up.
Oh,
yeah. I think a lot of creative people do. They really do. And you open up and you learn to express yourself via the arts. And via music and via, I wish I was a visual artist. I can make stick people very well, you know. And sometimes my stick people don't even look like people, okay. But even writing, you know, writing. I was writing on Facebook for a while. I just haven't done it for the last 2 weeks because I've been traveling. Like the 10 random thoughts or something. And someone was reading them that wasn't even a member and asked me if I was interested in publishing it.
Oh,
and I thought,
my gosh.
What
I love
on
it.
Earth? You know, that's one of those weird things that just happen that if you don't do it, that won't come. And so if you didn't go to what you went through, you would have never had that book.
That is true.
You have to.
That is
stuff that
true.
Precipitates things. Are, you know, life is a ladder. Things, you know, one thing leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing. And I don't believe in coincidences. I think that's part of my metaphysical me. We meet
who
we are supposed to meet, and they walk into our lives because they're supposed to be there. And we may not know for that moment. You know, let's say people come for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. That's really the truth, you know.
Yes, I agree.
And I've met
the
most incredible people. Why? And then go, why on earth do I know you? You know? And then it's just revealed. It's like, I was talking to a man who was CEO of a big company. We were probably the most, if you wanted to find opposites, we were the most opposites of what the world was saying, would think. And I met him in the airport, but he lives here in Baltimore, so we still talk. But when we talked, we had so much in common. But the world, the way we are socialized, it's like I look at you, I'm supposed to automatically think you have nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
What music does is bring people together.
Yeah,
it brings those unlikelies together. You know, and
I, like
I
that.
Feel
those
really
unlikely.
Blessed about that. Those unlikelies,
mm-hmm.
that's right. It brings us
mm-hmm.
together. And I've been I don't know if you know this woman. I've read a little bit about Dot Todman.
No.
She's a vocal empowerment coach, and she uses, it says, where vocal technique meets soul power. And she's a sister. Yeah, she's an African-American woman who uses the power of the chakras to teach you about the voice and expresses singing. And I was reading about it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, people exist I don't even know of. You know,
oh, I
and
love
she wrote
it.
A book, 7 Destructive Habits All Performers Must Avoid. Yeah, I'll send you her website. Maybe you can place it for other people to see as well. Her name is Dot
Todman. Oh, that
Todman.
Would be great. Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Okay,
incredible.
I can do that.
So that's me.
There's so much to you. And here's the thing. I could just chat with you and chat with you, but you know what we want to hear. We want to hear some music coming from you. All
oh, my goodness.
Melodious. Come on now. You'll do it at the end. So what we'll envision is this is a virtual community sing. And folks,
okay.
Sing
a virtual community
at
sing.
Home.
Oh, my
we'd
Lord. Oh, my Lord. Let's see. This is something that it's like the blues. It sounds sad, but sometimes we have to access that place to feel better. And I learned this in church, but it was really something that the Bessie Jones, amongst the Gullah people, you know, have popularized very well. And it's called Maybe the Last Time. You may have heard it, being from Virginia. Okay. Maybe the last time. Maybe the last time, children. It may be the last time. It may be the last time. I don't know. It may be the last time we all sing together. Maybe the last time, I don't know. That's it, Tanya. I'm not going to sing anymore. Okay. But
oh my
it's
gosh,
very wild
you,
to sing.
I have to... No, I had to mute out the phone, and I sang along with you. Because,
oh,
yes,
did you? You knew
yes,
it, didn't you?
Yes,
I know
knew
you knew
it.
That's
I
right.
Know that.
I knew it. That's right. That's right.
I didn't
girl.
Realize that was from
the diaspora
though.
Is powerful, okay? I was
yes.
I was amongst Africans again, like I told you, last month in Scotland, and we taught this song, and the women from Ghana were singing with me. And that is very much an indigenous African-American song, but they knew it. I mean,
wow.
And they raised their voices. They didn't care what it sounded like. They raised their voices,
wow.
You know. So it's a wonderful thing. I mean, the American culture, period, has created such amazing music that has been replicated and built on all over the world. And they're very, but let me tell you one thing, and this is something that really isn't a positive, but it's a positive because it ends positively. I went to school and I studied political science and economics. And I became a policy analyst. And I worked for the ACLU for years. I always was left to the left of the left of the left people, right? I mean, that's just who I am. And so I said, you know what? I'm not going to sing anymore because they look at me with my big body and my braces. They think that's all I know how to do. I'm a walking stereotype. And why did I give people that power? Because that's power to take away who I am. So it came to me, when you are creative like yourself, if you don't create, something in you feels like it's dying. I thought to myself, I am going to take that back. And when I took it back, then all the magic started to happen. You know, all the invitations to come to all the different places. Well, I told you, what is a little black girl from Baltimore doing up in Novosibirsk, Siberia? Or, you know, there for the grace of God go I. I've been in that Belgian airport so many times. I go to Belgium at least 10 times a year. And I have been there so many times.
I noticed you're in Belgium a lot, yes.
A lot. But we were using gospel music to raise music, to raise money for tuberculosis and leprosy victims around the world. Now, that's how far our music has gone. You got these Belgian choirs singing, Oh Happy Day, and you haven't lived till you heard that, okay?
Oh, my God.
So, and then we have a gospel choir I work with in Scotland. There's a gospel choir I work with. Where are we going now? I'm going to do Italy next, I think. And we've just used this music all over the place. You know, the blues is definitely all over the place. One of the best blues groups I've ever heard was the Korean blues band. But blues and gospels are sisters. Mm. Blues actually came from gospel, not the other way around.
Mm.
And people think, you know, it's because gospel is sacred music with instrumentation. And that came from the blues. Before that, it was our sacred church music, which was the spirituals and the chants and those type of things. But I could say, my man don't love me. He don't love me no kind of way. That's the blues, right? And then I could say, oh, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me in every way. It's the same thing. It was created by Thomas Dorsey. Not Thomas Dorsey, the white guy with the clarinet, but Thomas Dorsey.
Right,
he used to be the pianist for Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith. He had a tragedy happen in his family. He lost his wife and his son in childbirth, and he said he was never going to write secular music anymore. But he just took the blues and he put religious words to it. So he wrote, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Lead me on, let me stand, in response to that. And that may be just the most famous gospel song ever.
Wow, yes, yes.
Yeah, so we have a very rich history. It's a very rich history.
Yes, yes. See, you're definitely teaching me. That's amazing.
Girl, it's in your spirit. The ancestors of that, God, you know. You teach me. Every time I read your post, I'm learning something. I'm like, oh, my God, I have to sit down with Tanya because it's calling me. I even bought a book. I did this show. I did a lot of theater. I did this show called Once on This Island, and I had to learn a lot about Orishas. Because, you know, growing up in a Southern Black Baptist church, you do not learn metaphysical things because you know what they say that is. But this has been around years before what we've learned and before slave masters made us learn, you know, so I really started to learn things that were ancient, and Scotland is a very good place for that, to learn that as well. I mean, it's like the Highlands is like a vortex. You go there, you can feel your spirit just cleansing, you know. There are places on earth like that. So I would read your post and go, God, this is the woman I need to talk to. This is it.
Aww.
So we just thank you on behalf of your entire audience, who probably thinks, who is this crazy woman Tanya's talking to? We thank you for your work. Okay.
Thank you.
We thank you for teaching us. Yes.
Well, that means so much coming from you. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, I look forward to reading your post, too. Your Friday random thoughts or whatnot.
That's funny, isn't it?
Notice them and wants to put them in book form because, I mean, they are just everything. And there are so many times, I have to be honest, like I want to comment, but so many people have commented. And it's like, okay, a lot more people are gonna comment, and I'm going to keep getting all these notifications of these comments.
That's what, me too. Oh, my God. I just was going to write that. I was just thinking that. Do people, sometimes I just don't comment because I don't want everybody else's. But I want to comment badly. So when I really want to comment, I will message someone. Because then I won't get all the 9,000 others. That's right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Right. All right. You know, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. I know. But it's an interesting medium, you know.
Yes.
It keeps people together, but it's also a very strange place. Okay.
It can be, and I am bound and determined to make sure that my Facebook feed is creating sacred space. Basically,
me too. That's
that,
what I try. I really try.
That is it. Yeah.
I really try.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm so political, and I've worked on campaigns for so long that there are times when the current political climate, I just find myself writing, and I'm going, Leah, this is creating energy that you don't want to create, and I write it anyway. Then I go back and go, oh, I wish I could delete it, but then 9,000 people have already read it, so I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, you know who I am. But I really do. I really try to keep my place, a safe space. And if I don't, it's kind of totalitarianistic, because if I don't like the negativity, I will delete you because it's my timeline. I will delete it.
I do the same
because
thing.
I do it too. It's like, okay. But I warn you. I say, look, if you got something nasty to say, I'm going to delete it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We got enough of that in this world. We need to be bringing something else.
Exactly.
And you do so.
Well,
if you think that's what you're doing, you do.
Well, you know, so I may slip up, and then there are times, you know, I think about my senior minister, Reverend Jim Webb, and I'm always quoting him because he just has this rich way of expressing. And so he'll say, there is no spot where God is not. So I'm determined that on Facebook, that is a God spot too. And so
that's right.
Even
right.
if I am
that's
posting
right.
the results of one of those crazy Facebook quizzes, you know, or what have you, there's going to be something sacred in it. And
right.
So
everything's a God spot. It really, I love that. That's wonderful. I think if we think like that, we will be much kinder people too. You know,
yes,
I'm always
posting
about kindness. And I think people don't, I think it's because it's a word we hear so much, and it's like, listening to this little light of mine is ubiquitous, but just because something is ubiquitous doesn't make it not powerful. And kindness is so powerful. I mean, you don't know whose life you save by a mere act of small kindness. Because people are suffering. They're smiling at you. They're talking happy, but inside they are suffering. So it is incumbent upon us to bring kindness. Because I
know
sometimes I'm suffering.
And you never know the smallest word, a smile, even those silly
a
little
smile.
Emojis.
Right.
Yes.
That's what we learn in, that's what we practice in the community sing. It's not just singing. We learn how to raise our voice. And it's what I do with the kids I volunteer with, the Baltimore Voice Kids. We learn how to raise our voice and use our voice as a vehicle for kindness and love and bringing people together. Because these emotions and the vibrations of these emotions are so much more powerful, again, than the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Once you use that and that becomes your main focus, darkness cannot live there. Because you put people in shock. A person who is nasty to you and has said terrible things, and you say, oh, but that's okay. I forgive you. They go through some kind of crazy shock that they don't believe that's happening. You know, they're expecting you to come back. I'm gonna read you, girl, like you've never been read before. You know, and I know how to do that too. You know, all of us know how to do that. You know, but what
I found
is most powerful is when you come back with kindness, because somewhere that person's in pain. You know, there's anytime people are too nasty, there's some pain going on somewhere.
As someone
you know,
said,
and I'll say,
people,
I recognize your
people.
Pain. Hurt people, exactly. Hurt people. And I'll recognize it, and you know, and I'm going to pray for you. And you can see the confusion. But that confusion will turn to, okay, you know, maybe I need to think differently. Life is not just A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Sometimes it's A, F, K, Z, Y, M. You know, you have to figure out where you are in a certain place, you know. And that's what I like about metaphysics. I mean, it gives you permission to really figure things out, you know, to really look at life holistically. And often we don't look at it holistically. So that's what I have to learn from you.
There's purpose to everything.
I have watched it this last year, Tanya, moving in my world. And when I said, you know, before I look at something like The Secret and go, okay, that's not such a big secret. I mean, I thought I had heard that before, you know. But when you put it out there, I had, this is more information than any person who's listening to a singer needs to know. But when I had my hysterectomy, I had time to make a vision board. And I look at my vision board now, and so much of that vision board has happened. And I think, you know, we just need to say it and believe it, you know. Act, receive, believe. That's what you do. Act, receive, believe. And that's what we do in our singing. We sing with our actions. We receive the joy from it. Then we believe in the change that it's going to make. Because, you know, from my tradition, it may not be there when I get you, but he's always right on time. You know, Maya Angelou is still our rise, which just always gives me chills. When she says, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. That's what we are. It may not be for us, but we are the dream and the hope of our people. To this day, anytime people like Donald Trump exist, and they will forever, there will never not be these people. We must stay the dream and the hope always. And it, through music, it's so wonderful to put dreams and hopes to music.
Yes. Wow.
That's it. That's all I have to say, Tanya.
Okay. Drops the mic. Exits left.
Drop the mic.
Well, you know, Leah, I want to give folks an opportunity, if they have questions for you, to call in. So, and if they don't, that's fine, too, because, you know, I've had plenty of questions. The number is 917-889-7806. Again, 917-889-7806. Please press 1 to speak with the host so that I know that you would like to ask Leah Gilmore a question. International singing sensation. That's what I'm calling. Divine diva. You know, I love alliteration, as you can tell.
Oh, I love alliteration too. It's so wonderful. You'd be a great songwriter.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for that. I never envisioned myself in that way, even though I have to tell you, going back to the book we talked about, my young adult novel.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
You know, what she does, this teenage character, is she writes spells. And really, you discover that these spells are nothing but prayers, you know, but you just have to laugh from this, you know, teenage viewpoint. She feels like everything has to rhyme and all of that, but they're the cutest spells, and she really is learning to become great at manifesting.
Oh, my God. Can I get it on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Can I get your book
on Amazon?
Okay. I am so glad to get it. And I encourage everyone out there who's listening, you don't have to call, but get Tanya's book, because that sounds amazing.
Thank you. Most definitely. Thank you so much for that. But
then I get to interview you about your book. You can be my first guest.
Okay. Oh, that would be great. When you get your radio show going, that would be wonderful.
I'm very serious. We're working on it right now.
Out there. Okay, good.
I do. You know, I'm one of those strange singers who always forgets to push, like, product and stuff, you know, because I always want to talk about the amazingness of the music. But the last CD I did was a Dream CD, and I got it recorded in Baltimore. I didn't even get on an airplane at the UB Blake Center. And it was all women and the blues from the 1920s and 30s. And we just updated it a little bit. It's called Classically Blue, because they were called the classic blues singers. And all you have to do is just go to leahgilmore.com with no H, LEAGILMORE.com. You can see how to get it. That's it.
Classically Blue.
To me, I just wanted to honor the women, Classically Blue, the women who really were the first superstars of this music. I mean, Bessie Smith at one time was the wealthiest entertainer in the world, black, white, purple, or green.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, she bought, they didn't allow her to sit in the front of a train car, so she bought her own train car. You know?
Love it.
That's how deep it you know? It was the urban folklore. We don't know if it's exactly true, but the urban folklore is that she passed away in a car accident in Mississippi, passing a white hospital. She bled to death because they wouldn't let her go to the white hospital.
Wow.
They had to drive miles and miles and miles to the black hospital. Now, that's definitely could be true because of the times. I mean, Mississippi is still pulling some crazy on us right now, as we know. During that time period, it was very, very segregated. I mean, I've got a high school yearbook from my mom's high school that's called Richmond County Colored High School. And that just blows my mind. Like, that's my mother. Okay.
Now, wait a minute. That's in North Carolina?
That's in North Carolina. They're from North Carolina. How do you know that?
I grew
Nobody
up
knows
Richmond
about Richmond County.
County. I grew up in Richmond County in Virginia.
Oh, wow. See the synergy?
More synchronicities here. That's wonderful.
There you go. See the synergy? That's it right there. Yeah,
wow.
I used to have a very southern accent, Tanya. And what I would do was, I was such a strange kid. Remember Jet Magazine?
Yeah.
I loved Jet Magazine because I thought it was so cute. And I didn't realize how, you know, powerful it was. I would take Jet. And I would read the stories in the mirror, and I'd try to make myself sound like Oprah Winfrey because I was a little girl when she was doing her thing. So I got this really neutral voice. But as soon as I stepped back in North Carolina, I mean, as soon as I stepped back, there it is. There it is. And then when I come back to Baltimore, I'm like, they're like, what? Leah, what are you saying? Baltimoreans don't realize that they're in the South. We are in the South, brothers and sisters, okay? We are under the Mason-Dixon line. Great people came from here, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We have to speak to our people. And it was so funny that you knew about Kilmarnock in Virginia.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, I'm always going to Kilmarnock. And then there's a friend from mine from England who lives in Kilmarnock in Virginia. And they have this big Scottish day. Yeah, it is so incredible, the hookup between some little place here and some little place there.
Yes.
So my friend said, he just emailed me from Scotland saying, I'm trying to call, I can't get through.
I
think he's probably not doing it right. I think he's probably not doing it right, so don't worry.
Well,
really.
Oh, he's trying to call from Scotland?
Yeah.
Did you say? Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know how to call in internationally, but definitely dialing the one first would help.
Probably the 001 because the 00 is the international operator for anyone out there listening. And the one is the country code for the United States.
Ah.
And then you dial a number. Girl, I'm always dialing something somewhere.
Exactly,
that's why I got
Bonnie.
That's not a commercial. That's why I got voice over IP. Okay? Because it is free to call landlines all over the world.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it is. And it works well. I networked my own house. So, and I'm no super genius. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a closet
techie.
You are
in other areas.
Yeah, in other areas, right, right. I majored in physics for a while, but I realized it was the Carl Sagan physics I liked. I liked PBS physics, you know, not like real physics. I like, you know, like Neil deGrasse, you know, Tyson, who tells you all the interesting things. That's the physics
right.
I like, where it's explained, not where I'm mm-hmm. explaining it. But,
I understand. I majored in math for a while, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hard to even
But,
imagine.
You know, music is math. Music, being taking music theory is almost like taking physics. Because music
mm-hmm.
is very mathematical. And it's very rhythmic.
That is true.
And, you
mm-hmm.
know, extremely mathematical. We're counting all the time.
Yes.
And you can't look like
That's
you're
true.
Counting. That's why you have to practice. So
mm-hmm.
you make it look like anybody can do it. Can just hop on stage and go, I can do that, where you have studied 30 years to do it, you know.
Right.
And then it's like people don't want to pay you for your music, even though you've studied 20-some years, like a doctor has. You wouldn't go to the doctor and say,
mm-hmm.
could you do this for free because I know you? Could you take out my gallbladder for free? But people will come to mm-hmm. musicians and all the time. And say, you know, you might. I definitely donate my services for things I believe in. But all of
mm-hmm.
us do. Even doctors
mm-hmm.
do. You know, Doctors Without Borders. All
right.
of us do. But it can't
right.
be taken for granted. You know, you as a creative became that because you worked on it. You worked at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you became a counselor because you learned it. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it has
mm-hmm.
to be respected like that. Blah, blah,
there
blah, blah, blah.
There has to be
blah.
Some energetic exchange. Some energetic
yes.
exchange.
Yes. Oh, I love
that.
That's
yeah.
such a beautiful way to put
mm-hmm.
it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be depleted if you keep giving it all away.
Oh, my God. Yes, because we've already taken a vow of poverty. I mean, God.
Mm.
So let me tell you.
No.
Yeah, we
that.
Can't
I,
be
I'm
depleted.
Yeah,
out, but
so.
we can't live in lack either. I read that too. I read
right,
that from the Iyanla woman's book. I can't think of her last name, but not
Van.
Thinking in
mm-hmm.
a. Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry because she's so famous, but just not thinking in that spirit of lack. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
not that ridiculous prosperity preaching that I can't stand. I'm really, it gives me the chills. But just not, it's really, really bizarre considering who they're talking about, you know, and who the man who walked this earth in poverty, helping people, not, you know, who was a social activist and all these things. And you talking about, you know, how I'm going to get my next Learjet. That's just from another planet to me. But we cannot
and he got
think.
It too.
And he got it. Oh, girl, stop it. Oh, no. Lord, we're so
That's
crazy. But he already had one. He was replacing one.
Right.
That's what's so nuts. You know, I fly all over the world. I don't need a Learjet. Just go first class. Hell, that's $5,000 within itself. You know.
Well, you know what? You know what I told you? There's no spot where God is not. And I'm going to say there was lesson in that. He asked and he received.
He asked and he received.
No matter
That's
how
right.
ridiculous we may have thought his asking was or his motivation.
But he received.
He asked and he received.
And he believed he was going to receive it. That's what it was.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's the activating ingredient there, that belief. So, you know,
it is.
I'm not mad.
You
I'm
are exactly right.
I just can't be mad about it.
You just because why waste the energy, right? Why waste the energy? Because that really is. He asked and he believed it. And that's what I've done. There has been something my aunt told me. She was a minister. She said sometimes she would get bills and just put them on the table and go, okay, God, you take care of that. And it would happen. Somehow it would be taken care of, you know, because she believed in it. She believed.
Yeah.
And I have seen it happen with me where I just believed I wasn't going to be that ill anymore. And I'm not. And I just praise and I just send praises and thank yous, you know. And for me, I think tolerance, Ashe, that's right. tolerance is the biggest thing we as a people need to gain, because there's so many ways and so many names for this God that we, you know, and even gender-wise, you know, it didn't say God is a gender. We just use a pronoun because that's what we learn. But, you know, we just need to open ourselves up, because the more we open ourselves up, the more God we have.
Yes, yes.
It's so important.
Girl, we having church up in here. We're having church.
What you talking about? Don't get me started. Okay? Don't get me started.
That's what happens when you start singing those spirituals and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, my God!
I wish I could read some astrology charts. People would be really interested in that. I mean, I'll keep wanting my chart read, and I keep going, where do I go get that done? What is it, you know?
I will give you the person. He was on my show last week. He was amazing. And
please,
he will do a wonderful job.
I would love that.
The information about that author and that vocal coach, I will send you about the astrologist, okay?
Perfect.
All right. So, you know, time is winding down. Can you believe it? We have been chatting for this long. It's amazing.
Oh, it's so great. Thank you so much for having me.
I've just had such a good time catching up with you, since we haven't seen each other in years.
I know.
Years.
We were seeing each other all the time because we started the book club during the Maryland Black Family Alliance, and you were such a great part of that.
Thank you.
I would just love
Thank
to see you walk in with all that spirit. Oh, my goodness.
I'm coming
you
in.
You really
I'm
are special.
To one of those
you're a
be
special
more
person.
Things. Well, thank you.
You are coming, because I'm believing it now. I didn't ask it, believed
okay.
it. I'm just waiting to receive. Okay. That's right.
So
I know you are.
I want people to. All right, I'm coming. I want people to know where they can buy one of your CDs or find out more information about you, book you to sing, do some of the wonderful things that you do when you're not traipsing about the world. You have a blues CD. You have gospel and jazz. All
right,
wonderful
right.
things that you have
it's
out
all
there.
On my
so
website.
Again,
it really, you can just find out all there, you know, and you can get it in a digital form as well, you know. So we've hooked it up like that, since people under 40 kind of like to do that, you know. I still like CDs.
So,
look, I remember cassette tapes, and I remember when somebody making a mixtape for you was the ultimate, and I'm in love with you. Okay.
Come on now, you know you remember 8-track tapes.
Oh, girl,
yeah. Before cassettes.
But I always thought they were strange. I was a little girl, and you were too. Now, didn't you say they were strange?
Right, we're the same age, yes. They were strange.
Right.
They were strange.
I thought, this is some strange stuff right there, because I had a record player, which I loved and wore out. My parents bought me this little personal record player, and my next CD starts with the sound of a Victrola, old-fashioned record player, turning in the wheel and the needle hitting the record and starting to play. Because I love that sound so much. I love it. I mean, it is just something that's so special about that. And there's an authentic, all of it's authentic, but we apply our own authenticity to things, and that's what I feel. When I hear that scratchy sound with the music, oh, my goodness, I just love it. It's my age group.
Yes, yes, yes.
First thing I ever bought was, first show I ever saw in my life was the Jackson 5 at the Civic Center in Baltimore.
Oh.
And I had to be
wonderful.
So young. And I said, I'm going to do that one day. I went to see a show called Your Arms Too Short to Box with God. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. And Nell Carter was in it. And I didn't know. None of these folks were, like, superstars. And this was when the Morris Mechanic was there. My mom would take me to shows. And I said, oh, my goodness, I want to do that. I wonder how people get to do that. I wonder, where do you go to learn to do that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your steps get ordered. Don't put it out there if you don't want it. Okay?
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Order my steps. Okay?
One of my favorite
All right, my
songs.
Sister. Mine too. That was my mom's favorite song. Right? I can't
really?
Sing it either, but I sure love it. I shouldn't say I can't sing. I won't subject the world to my singing it. Okay.
Listen to you. Oh, wow. So your website, people can find out more about you and get your wonderful, wonderful CDs. I was about to say tapes because we were talking about tapes.
Yeah, that's right. I still slip. L-E-A.
What's that? Lea Gilmore, L-E-A.
.com. G-I-L-M-O-R-E. L-E-A, G-I-L-M-O-R-E.
All right, LeahGilmore.com. So you heard it here.
Right.
That's where you can follow up with this divine diva who has just been amazing this evening, sharing her amazing gift.
Oh, thank
gifts.
You. My goodness.
Oh,
you are amazing.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm going to have a Tanya T-shirt soon. Okay?
Okay.
With the book on the front of it, the cover
okay.
of your book on
oh,
the front
like
of
that.
It. I like that,
like
too.
That idea.
Yes, right.
I like that.
Yeah, every thoughts
become
things, Tanya. Thoughts become things. That's what we always have to remember. Everything starts as a thought, and then we make it a thing.
From your lips to God.
So you stay blessed, my
sister. God's thank you. You too. You too.
I will.
Wow.
I will. And thank you for you. God bless you.
Mm. Oh, thank you. I receive that into you as well.
And thank you to whomever is listening. God bless you too. And may many victories come your way.
Yes. Yes.
All right, sweetheart.
I second that. All right.
I'm
going to
send you that link, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. So I invite our listeners to tune in again next month on the first and second Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more mind, body, and soul food. On the first Sunday, mystical maven Ty Johnson Anderson will return, and she will provide May Day messages. And on the second Sunday, I will also have another returning guest, Tema Aziza Sirwa, and she will share the miracles of motherhood on our very special Mother's Day show. Once again, you can contact me, Tanya Parker, at tanya@mindbodyandspiritworks.com or Facebook as Throat Chakra Shaman or my fan page, Tanya D. Parker, or another fan page for this show, Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And you can find out more information about my various holistic and sacred offerings. My website is currently down, but it will be coming up soon. This evening, we have raised our vibration by just listening to this amazing singer and storyteller and activist and healer, Lea Gilmore. And for leftovers, I will leave you with some mind, body, and soul food to go from Olivia Dewhurst Maddock. And she says, healing relies on an openness to the whole, a willingness to relinquish whatever frustrates or delays, mistaken ideas, negative feelings, poor diet, inadvisable lifestyle, and to accept a wider spectrum of responses with new ideas, experience, and priorities. Healing is communication, and music and its universal nature is total communication. And the deepest mysteries of music are the inspirations, the pathways, and the healing, which lead to oneness and unity. And so I wish you powerful communicating, powerful healing, powerful music, until we next dine at the mind, body, and soul food table. And we will let Gay Balola take us away with her Hungry Woman Blues.
Here I go.